This is Anna Carmo with UN News. After years of drought and with what little the people of Madagascar have managed to grow, destroyed by flash flooding, more than 1.3 million are in crisis, and some are even eating ground-up clay just to survive. Movement restrictions relating to COVID-19 have also made it impossible for the poorest of the poor to find work to tide them over the lean season, the World Food Programme, or WFP, has warned. In an interview with UN News is Daniel Johnson, WFP's Regional Director for Southern Africa, Lola Castro, explains how the UN agency is helping by empowering communities to withstand future climate shocks.
The situation basically has been a disaster over the last 5 years with recurring droughts and only one good harvest. And we have heard about it before. In September, we immediately had to come in and attend areas that we have never supported as a World Food Programme before, because the crisis was so acute that there was excess mortality. This is what we're talking about.
How many people are you helping and how many people are in need?
At this moment, in the Grand South of Madagascar, Grand Sud of Madagascar, in December, we supported 500,000 people, almost 500,000. We need to scale up to at least 900,000 out of the 1.3 million that are in their need at this moment.
Who are the most in need?
The most in need basically are the poorest of the poor. Those people that in fact, they have sometimes, they produce their small harvest, but they haven't been able to produce due to the lack of water and incredible sandstorms that have hit this year. The harvest has been buried under sand, basically, if you want a picture. And those ones also who migrate to cities to look for labor, but due to COVID-19, they haven't been able to find any labor anywhere, even in the fields or even in the cities. So basically, the situation is much worse than what we have seen in decades, what we are talking now.
In the past, we've reported on the situation in Madagascar, and recently we were hearing that people were forced to scavenge for cactus leaves, cactus pears, and eating leaves with some salt and some sugar. I mean, this is just nowhere to live. Why can we not get in there immediately and do more?
To be honest, we have been doing more. We, the government, the World Bank, other UN agencies, we have been working on resilience building activities in a number of districts in the Grand Sud. And we have been doing quite a lot, building on irrigation, trying to stop the dunes from moving. The sand occupies the fields, the arable lands, working with the communities on what we call food for asset activities. Let's say a conditional transfers that the people get food or cash, but they do something to improve their livelihoods. And that has worked. In the communities and districts where we have done most of this work, it has been better this year. Let me just report that. But we are not doing enough. We have to also do much more. We have to help the people to get much more resilient in these very difficult climate change times, where we know it will never rain enough in southern Madagascar. So it's very important we do much more of that.
It's great to hear about the resilience building, and certainly there seems to be more awareness that southern Africa, Madagascar, is at more risk of climate shocks. So is that how the humanitarian approach is changing? Is it to promote resilience by getting the communities involved?
Yeah, it's what we call, if you want, the nexus between humanitarian recovery and development. We really need to move from a year-to-year support of very vulnerable to move them into more resilient activities, to be able to feed themselves, to be able to have water if available and to find that water, to be able to move their foods and have markets where they can buy if they do receive social safety nets and social protection cash transfer. So that's the area where we all have agreed the Southern Madagascar strategy, long-term strategy is.
But Madagascar isn't poor everywhere. It produces vanilla, and lots of people have seen that Hollywood movie about Madagascar and the wonderful wildlife and the natural riches that the country has. So why isn't it doing more to help itself? It might sound a bit ruthless, but why isn't more being done in country to empower the people to help themselves too?
There is a lot being done in country, but it's not enough. In fact, it's a very poor country. If you look at the Human Development Index, it's very poor in general. It's true that some areas are very productive. There is rice, there is vanilla, there is fisheries, etc. But it's not everybody who can benefit. The population is densely populated. It has also very, very big problems of climate change, like erosion. A lot of land goes to the sea. There is deforestation because of there is nothing for the populations to really eat.
So tell me, what are the dangers for children who don't eat enough, malnutrition and mental development?
Yeah, what we are seeing now, okay, this is an area where chronic malnutrition, which is basically the malnutrition that you get when you are already in your mother's womb, when you are in your mother's womb, and if you don't get adequate food and macronutrients, then when you are born, you are already malnourished. You are born with a potential to have your organs, inside organs, including the brain, much less developed, and they will never develop enough. So that means that you will never be as productive. You will never be able to educate yourself or study at the levels that a normal child that receive adequate nutrition from the mother's womb. That's a huge problem already. That's the chronic problem. If you add to that what is happening now, that on daily basis, those kids don't even have one meal. And sometimes the meal is about water, cactus, a root mixed with mud because it has some micronutrients, some sand that has some minerals. So this is what these children are eating. So,
sorry, you just said that children are eating mud. I mean, I heard that perhaps chalk stones were being ground down to at least fill the stomach, but that's not going to provide any goodness, is it?
No, but this mix with cactus, with the leaves, as we said before. And what happens is, the first thing what happens is the children drop out from school. Why they drop out from school? Because one, they are requested by their parents to help them to forage, to find foods, anything they can find to bring to the house and eat. Or to beg. If they're in urban areas, they will be begging. They will be begging to be able to do that. So we have worked with UNICEF and others and seen that there is, in some areas, 75% of the children have totally dropped out of the school, totally dropped out. They're not even appearing at the school. Of course, if you're already hungry and on top of it, you have to help the family to feed themselves, where are you going?
Okay, so if we can get the nutrition part done, then that would already be a great help. You've got to keep kids in school, obviously, so that they have the tools to help their communities and their families. How much money does a family need to survive every day?
Look, we're looking at a transfer, a social transfer of around $40 to $45 will keep a family for a month, yeah? And that we normally can give it in food, in kind. If the markets are not functioning, we'll give the food. We'll bring the food from places that are surplus places in the country, in the region, or in the world. We'll bring it. If the place have markets that are functioning, and we are sure that if we provide the cash, around $45, we'll provide for a family of around 5 family members to have a diet in normal price conditions for a month. Yeah? So we're talking about a real small amount. But we are talking, however, about a lot of people. We are talking about having to provide that support to 900,000 people month on month, because it's not a one-off. And the lean season started already as early as September in southern Madagascar last year, and it will go all the way to April 2021. So for covering all that period and what is ahead of us, we are requiring at this moment $35 million. And that may increase, because the situation is that we don't know how bad is it going to go. Let me tell you, in June last year, we thought we had only to support 700,000 people. The situation deteriorated so rapidly due to drought, due to the winds, due to the COVID, that in November, we learned that it was 1.3 million people. So basically doubled, and it's 35% of the population of all the Grand South. So we are not talking about the small things this year. And despite we do a lot of resilience, we haven't done enough, and we do need to do much more, as I said.
What is the World Food Programme doing to explore technological innovations like cloud seeding and desalination to provide this water that people need?
On water and desalination, et cetera, basically, we're working very closely with UNICEF. UNICEF and the government, they are putting water systems in the area. What we are involved in to support, if there is community work required, we do provide these conditional transfers to make sure the community work does irrigation systems, etc., when the water is available. That's one.
And my final question, thank you, Lola Castro from the World Food Programme, is what's the level of hope in the community? Because without hope, it's very difficult for people to carry on, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the level of hope at this moment is very low. But these people, they have their land, they have their traditions, they have their livelihoods in this area. And it's very difficult to tell them, no, go somewhere else. So the hope is there. And the hope is that we all together, government, authorities, communities, UN agencies contributing to it, we can manage to find a livelihood that, being borderline, can support them to survive during the periods that are the most difficult periods of the year, and it's sustainable, something that they can do in arid areas. We have seen areas like the Sahel recovering. So this is what we're trying to do in here. We're trying to stabilize the dunes. We're trying to build a resilience by planting plants that then can produce food with very low water levels and can feed this population for a longer time. Trying to provide support on transport, water, ensuring that the basic services like health, nutrition, education are available and the children participate. School meals are extremely important to retain the children at the school. And also working with the women, very important, with pregnant women and lactating women, so the children are healthy from birth and as well as they are healthy. And also working with women, especially on producing foods, transformation, etc., like from the cassava. The cassava is a drought-resistant plant. They are producing much more and they are transforming it in gari, which is the flour. And that flour can be fortified and provide the community much more energy and support. So a lot of activities are being done. We just need longer time, more support, and really all of us to go into it with the same purpose. That's all I would say.